Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. With another crisis brewing in Israeli politics, Israel renews attacks on Gaza. Trump's budget cuts make China happy, and Trump's deportations fight with the courts continues. First, with another crisis brewing in Israeli politics, Israel renews attacks on Gaza. It's all too predictable. When Netanyahu is up against a wall at home, he strikes Hamas. The prime minister has announced that he cannot trust the head of Shin Bet, Israel's domestic intelligence agency. Israel's cabinet approved his firing of Ronen Bar, the first time a Shin Bet head has been fired. Netanyahu said he was, quote, sure that this step is critical for the rehabilitation of the organization, for achieving all our war aims, and for preventing the next disaster. In other words, free the prime minister to resume the war against Hamas. Barr was reportedly prepared to step down once all the hostages were freed, but also did not want Shin Bet to take all the blame for the intelligence failure that led to the October 7 Hamas attack. Now Barr, backed by the opposition parties and others, says the firing is invalid and asks the High Court to intervene. The Attorney General's office had previously told the Prime Minister he would have to consult with it before dismissing Barr to ensure there were no improper considerations. He does not appear to have done so. That doesn't faze the far right. The right must learn from President Trump to eradicate the deep state, said Itamar Ben-Gvir. Is this sounding familiar? What may lie behind all this maneuvering was revealed by opposition leader Yair Lapid. Netanyahu is firing Ronen Bar for only one reason, he said, the Qatargate investigation. Lapid declares, quote, for a year and a half, he saw no reason to fire him, but only when the investigation into Qatar's infiltration of Netanyahu's office and the funds transferred to his closest aides began did he suddenly feel an urgency to fire him immediately. The Shin Bet is looking into suspicions that top aides to the prime minister had improper ties to Qatar. Hiding corruption has been a long-running job for Netanyahu, and that is why continuing the war with Hamas is integral to his remaining in office and fending off legal problems. As Tom Friedman writes in the New York Times, Netanyahu has much in common with Putin. Both their careers depend on forever wars. Netanyahu knows that as long as the Gaza war continues, writes Friedman, there is not going to be a commission of inquiry into his responsibility for Israel suffering the worst death of Jews since the Holocaust in a surprise attack. So Netanyahu wants the war to go on. It's what keeps his cabinet together. Putin wants the war to go on. It's what reinforces his grip on power. And that is exactly what Netanyahu is doing, prolonging the war by renewing attacks on Gaza, again forcing Palestinians who had just returned to what's left of their homes to flee again. The Washington Post reports, quote, Israel began bombing Gaza again, breaking the fragile truce. The renewed Israeli attacks have killed more than 673 people since then, Gaza's health ministry said, more than a third of whom were children. An additional 233 people who were killed previously were added to the count of the dead after a committee tracking the missing confirmed their deaths. On March 25th, hundreds of Gazans protested against the war and called for an end to Hamas rule. Trump's budget cuts make China happy. If you're a Chinese analyst, you have plenty of reasons for concern about Trump's foreign policy, starting with the tariffs. But if that same analyst is tuned into the Trump-Musk budget cuts, there are reasons to be pretty happy. Among the many cuts are those to programs that compete with Chinese activities or investigate Chinese projects directed at the United States, such as the U.S. Agency for International Development, the Office of Net Assessment in the Pentagon, which evaluates future threats, Radio Free Asia, the Cyber Safety Review Board, which investigates foreign penetration of U.S. agencies. The contradiction is glaring, one observer noted, between the administration's focus on the China threat and its undermining of key programs designed to reduce the threat. As one specialist in Australia said, quote, when we reveal human rights abuses or Chinese misinformation, it's another form of competition with China. And getting rid of it only creates a vacuum that Beijing is going to try to fill. And we are already seeing that happen. A former career CIA officer said the cuts were self-defeating, quote, we affirm Chinese beliefs that they are ascendant and that our decline is accelerating. Trump's deportations fight with the courts continues. The administration's deportation of alleged Venezuelan and Salvadoran gang members to El Salvador under the 18th Century Alien Enemies Act has run up against a very angry judge who has declared woefully insufficient the official explanation for why the plane carrying the men was not turned around at his order. In a sternly written order, the judge, James E. Boasberg, told the administration to explain to him why officials had not violated his instructions when they allowed two flights of immigrants to continue on to El Salvador, even after he directed the planes to return to the U.S. Trump and minions have assailed the judge for being everything from Marxist to crazy. He should be impeached, said Trump. Trump has refused to turn over flight data using the state secrets privilege. The judge's restrictions on new deportations remains, but it seems fairly certain that the Supreme Court will hear this case. Trump, asked whether he believed he had the authority to round up people and detain them without providing evidence against them to the courts, said he believed he did. Quote, "Well, that's what the law says and the country needs." Of course, that's not what the law says. Surely even Donald Trump has heard of due process. And due process is what's keeping several international students who supported Palestinian rights from being deported without a hearing. While the court fight goes on, Trump is barreling ahead with the removal of immigrants. The administration will revoke the temporary legal status of 530,000 Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans in the U.S. The order will be effective April 24th. It cuts short a 2-year parole granted to the migrants under former President Biden that allowed them to enter the country by air if they had U.S. sponsors. Unless these immigrants have other legal protection, they will be subject to deportation. In other news, Russia and Ukraine expand the ceasefire. The two countries agreed to, quote, ensure safe navigation, eliminate the use of force, and prevent the use of commercial vessels for military purposes in the Black Sea. It did not specify when the limited ceasefire would go into effect. The U.S. also separately agreed with Russia to help it gain access to the world markets to export fertilizer and other agricultural products, and with Ukraine to facilitate the exchange of prisoners of war, civilian detainees, and kidnapped children. Let's see which of these separate agreements is actually implemented. And meantime, Russia continues to bomb Ukraine. Huge anti-government demonstrations in Serbia. It hasn't made the front pages here, but in Serbia, an estimated 325,000 people demonstrated in Belgrade following the death of 15 people in the collapse of a railway station. The demonstrations have been going on since November as people's anger at government corruption heightens. Their theme? They want a government that works. Students have been a leading force in the protests, which so far have forced the resignation of the prime minister and the transportation minister. But President Aleksandar Vučić refuses to step down. Do you think this might not be a good time for a Trump family member to drop into Belgrade for a business visit? Well, the demonstrations didn't stop Donald Trump Jr. from dropping by to promote a Trump hotel in Belgrade, the first in Europe. Never let politics interfere with business. Next, the U.S. resumes contacts with the Taliban. A U.S. citizen was released by the Taliban after 2.5 years in captivity. The Trump administration revealed that it had sent an envoy to Afghanistan for talks, the first such contact since the Taliban takeover in 2021. A Taliban spokesman said the talks covered bilateral relations, the exchange of prisoners, and consular access to Afghans in the U.S. Most observers caution that any resumption of normal ties with Afghanistan is far away. A briefing of Elon Musk on war plans with China is canceled. In what would have been an astonishing event, a planned briefing at the Pentagon for Elon Musk on top-secret U.S. plans in case of war with China was canceled after the New York Times reported it. Instead, Musk got a private briefing from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The idea that an unelected, unofficial U.S. official with billions of dollars in Pentagon contracts and major investments in China would be briefed on some of the most highly secret U.S. war plans is truly beyond imagination. But this is the Trump era. I can imagine what Musk might take away from such a briefing, information that would be useful to his businesses, and/or information that the Chinese would find useful. Trump himself pivoted on the canceled meeting, saying the Times report was a fake and admitting that Musk might be a security risk. Elon has businesses in China, he said, suggesting, quote, he would be susceptible, perhaps, to that. You don't say. Trump's territorial ambitions are the agenda in Canada and Greenland. Canada's new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, has called elections for April 18th. Trump isn't on the ballot, but his tariff and statehood threats are. He'll face off with Pierre Poilievre, the more conservative candidate, but one equally concerned about Trump. Canadians will have to decide which candidate can best confront Trump and protect Canadian interests. Said Carney, quote, we are facing the most significant crisis of our lifetimes because of President Trump's unjustified trade actions and threats to our sovereignty. Our response must be to build a strong economy and a more secure Canada. Trump claims that Canada isn't a real country. He might have added, just as Putin claims Ukraine isn't a real country. He wants to break us so America can own us. We will not let that happen, unquote. Poilievre also says Canada must stand up to Trump, but that requires different policies, such as lower taxes, secure borders, and more jobs. The polls, which before Trump's threats showed the Conservatives winning in a landslide, now show a very tight race. Trump continues to babble about annexing, his word, Greenland. I think it will happen, he said again this time last week, with the NATO Secretary General at his side. Then Usha Vance, the wife of J.D. Vance, and National Security Advisor Michael Waltz decided to pay an uninvited visit to the island. J.D. Vance then said he would go too. A Greenland official called the move aggressive. As the Arctic region becomes more navigable, some American planners think Greenland's value in minerals will increase exponentially. Possibly the Pentagon has its sights on expanding Greenland's U.S. base to accommodate the Golden Dome missile defense. Right now, the U.S. military presence is about 200 at the Patufik Space Base, which is somewhat in disrepair. J.D. Vance shocked Danes when he suggested that Denmark was, quote, not being a good ally. He evidently forgot that Danish troops fought with the United States in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the Danish government is promising to invest around $2 billion in Greenland's defense, including at a former U.S. air base. The question is how much the Danes will have to do to satisfy Trump. U.S. intelligence reports on Xi Jinping's wealth. Back in 2014, journalists working in China reported for the first time on the extraordinary wealth of Xi's family. Now, U.S. intelligence has issued a long-awaited report entitled Wealth and Corrupt Activities of the Leadership of the Chinese Communist Party. It says that corruption is endemic in a system where political power is so centralized. The report highlighted that from 2012 through 2022, almost 5 million people within the PRC government and the Chinese Communist Party were investigated and found 4.7 million officials guilty. Xi and family have enormous wealth, estimated at, quote, over $1 billion in business investments and real estate. Most likely, Xi has someone manage these funds for him. The report does not directly link Xi or family members to specific investments, but it suggests that he, as well as all other high party and government officials, are well positioned to take advantage of privileged information concerning the economy. Finally, how to fuel a humanitarian disaster. Turkish arms in Sudan. It's hardly a revelation to say that civil wars only get bloodier when outside parties provide weapons in hopes of making immense profits. On occasion, the evidence for this becomes available, showing how an arms merchant can have overwhelming influence over the course of a war. Such is the case with Turkey's leading arms dealer, Baykar, which, from a Washington Post investigation, has supplied the Sudanese army and its opposition, the Rapid Support Forces, with the means of destruction. Drones top the list of weapon shipments. The Post was able to obtain a huge cache of documents that, quote, reveals in startling new detail how a well-connected Turkish defense firm covertly fueled Sudan's devastating civil war, which has dragged on for 22 months and created what the United Nations calls the world's worst humanitarian catastrophe. It also shows how Turkey's defense industry has built relationships on both sides of the conflict, unquote. All this is happening despite United Nations sanctions on arms shipments to Sudan. By the way, the arms firm Baykar is owned by Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan's son-in-law. The Turkish embassy in Washington says Turkey has, quote, refrained from providing any military support to the parties. And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening, and take good care.